Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Lord said, "Woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers killed. Consequently, you bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you do the building. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, 'I will send to them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute, in order that this generation might be charged with the blood of all the prophets, shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the temple building. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be charged with their blood. Woe to you, scholars of the law, you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourself did not enter, and you stopped those trying to enter.'" When Jesus left, the scribes and the Pharisees began to act with hostility toward him and to interrogate him about many things. And they were plotting to catch him in something he might do. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We are smack in the middle of one of the best periods in the two-year church's liturgical cycle of readings. We've just finished St. Paul's awesome letter to the Galatians, and now we begin two great weeks where we have a chance to enter into his most synthetic letter of all, which is the letter to the Ephesians. And then we back that up with his by far most beautiful letter of all, which is his letter to the Philippians coming up. So we're in the middle where we're going to profit from all the graces that God had given to St. Paul that he wanted to just pour out to the early church, which is an opportunity for us all to be renewed in our faith by that same Holy Spirit who inspired him to write. Today, we've got the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians. We have that canticle we pray every week, but it's one that can become routine, such that the main absorption that we just had, Sister Angelina was reading it, were the words that were different from exactly what we have in the breviary. That can happen to us sometimes. But there are such crucially important points that not only orient St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, but our entire Christian life today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heaven. Every single blessing God could give, he has given us, not merely through Christ, but in Christ, because Christ is that sum, that greatest of all those blessings. A lot of the times we don't live our faith focused enough on the extraordinary blessings we have in Christ right now. We can ponder the types of things that aren't going well, ponder what we don't have. But God has blessed us with every blessing he can in Christ his Son. So that must orient our prayer in our life, where we begin with praise and thanksgiving. It doesn't stop there. Among those blessings, he's going to name a few. Vocation. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blemish before him. God has chosen us. It was a deliberate act. It wasn't just something that happened when the gametes of our parents fused. He had intended always, before he said, "Let there be light," that we would exist, that we would be called. And because he calls, that he would give us all the graces necessary to respond to the call. For what? As we'll hear on the Immaculate Conception in a couple of months, when this is again the reading. To be holy and immaculate in his sight. To be a saint. And to be without sin. What an extraordinary blessing that is. To be a saint means to be holy like God is holy. It's to be like God. To be without blemish is what God wants. And that cleansing, he's going to tell us later in this letter when we get to his dramatic fifth chapter about our spiritual sponsality with him, as well as about physical sponsality between a husband and a wife. He makes us without blemish by water of baptism and the word, which is purified, which is one of the reasons why we get washed so much every morning with this extraordinary gift, this extraordinary blessing. That is God's call, and we can have confidence, total confidence, that because he wills it, we just have to cooperate with it and not refuse to say fiat. Third, he has destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ in accord with the favor of his will for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in his beloved. He wants us to be his children. Sometimes today, unfortunately, we think of those who are adopted culturally as somehow second class. They're not the real children. No. In the Roman Empire, when St. Paul was writing this, an adopted child received all the rights of every child. And if you adopted a child who was older than your firstborn, you now had a new firstborn. And the one who was now that adopted new firstborn received all the rights of primogeniture, and all the natural children were knocked down. So awesome was the gift of adoption. And that's what God has done with us. He's adopted us through Jesus. In accord with the favor of his will, he delighted in doing it. He wanted it badly. And there's a purpose to that. For the praise of his glory. Just the very act that he did it was not so that we could praise his glory. That's not what the text means in the Greek. He knew that we would be the cause of the praise of his glory because of what he would be able to do in us through that every spiritual blessing. He's granted us this in his beloved to become the praise of his glory. God's amazing grace that saved wretches like us, for example. As beautiful as that is, we have to confront the fact of our weakness. We haven't always lived up to these blessings, this call to be holy and immaculate. But not even that should frighten us. Which is the next point in this every spiritual blessing. Forgiveness, mercy, something that we should ponder far more deeply in this Jubilee year. In Christ we have the redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgression, in accord with the riches of the grace he has lavished upon us. The Lord wills us to be forgiven. Our being immaculate is not from the first moment of our conception by his prevenient grace. It's a conquest, which he's doing most of the work, and we're collaborating with that will. But he does deem, he does will, that we receive the redemption by Christ's blood and the forgiveness of everything we've done wrong, because this is what aligns with the true riches of his grace. got that parable of the two debtors, which I preached upon in one of the Masses on Sunday, which was the reading for the Old Rite Mass. God has forgiven us 10,000 talents worth of sin. 164,271 years worth of repayment it would require, but in accord with the riches he gave us, he gave it all to us. He's lavished it upon us. And because of that, he continues to pour out that redemptive blood and forgiveness of our transgressions, and strengthens us to allow that blood to flow out from us so that we can forgive others their transgressions against us. This is part of his extraordinary blessing, and in this year of mercy, we thank him more. And the fifth and last point of this introduction about this blessing is about the mystery of God and all wisdom and insight. He's made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to sum up all things in Christ in heaven and on earth. So he's revealed to us the great mysterion, that great veiled plan. The plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ in heaven and on earth, to bring about this unity, which first is a intersubjective unity of all those for whom Christ died, to bring us so that we might be one with the Trinity. But he also wants to draw all things to himself, as Christ himself said, when the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw all things to myself. It's to redeem all of creation in heaven and on earth. And this whole reading is going to, this whole letter is going to describe the unfolding of that mystery. God has given us that secret, but in order for us to be able to enter more deeply into it, we need to be ever more childlike. Because as Jesus would pray earlier in St. Luke's Gospel, the Lord has hidden these things from the wise and the clever, but revealed that mystery to the merest of children. So all of it comes together, all of these blessings, every spiritual blessing in the heavens, the blessing of our calling, the blessing of our filiation, the blessing of God's mercy, and the blessing of that mystery that he wants us to continue to enter much more deeply. Once we grasp this, then we can say, as we shout it out, the Lord has made known his salvation. He's revealed to us that mystery. And that provokes in us, as we said in the first line of today's psalm, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. We're supposed to respond to it differently, melodiously, with love and joy. In today's gospel, we see a huge contrast. They're not wanting to sing a new song. They're not wanting to receive this great mystery. In fact, Jesus, with very clear terms, shouts out, "Woe to you who build the memorials of the prophets whom your fathers executed." They were already harboring a resistance to Jesus. And Jesus wanted to call them out. He said, "You bear witness and give consent to the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them and you're building the monuments to them." It's much easier to respect a dead prophet than a live prophet. A dead prophet we can box. A live prophet can get into our face and say, "You must change. God is asking you to change." And Jesus said that they're going to be charged with the blood of all the prophets, because at the very moment, the sum of all blessings, who was among them, was having a death sentence put on his head, as the very people to whom he was preaching were planning to conspire to have him executed. And so as much as they want to say, let's honor the prophets who have come before, as much as they say these prophets should have been listened to rather than murdered, they were prepared to do the very same thing based on just as serious a rejection. This generation will be charged with their blood. It provokes in us a sense of, do we recognize the extraordinary blessing that God has given us in sending us waves of apostles? Do we listen to the voices of the prophets that God sends to us? Or when they challenge us to do something that we don't really want to do, do we classify them in some other way and marginalize them and reject their message so that thereby we're rejecting the messenger? It always happened. It's happening very frequently today with Pope Francis. We don't have to agree with every decision he's made about the cardinals that he has chosen or anything else like that to recognize that he's calling the church to profound conversion. Holy Spirit doesn't prevent gubernatorial decision making, but he does prevent error in the teaching of the faith. So do we hear that prophecy of what the Lord is trying to say to us? Or do we harbor resentment? I'm not saying you, sisters, but in the church, with so many that I deal with, we have this because he makes many uncomfortable with some of his emphases. Case in point, when he washed the feet of the Muslim prisoners, including girls, on Holy Thursday, we could have easily said, would that you have done that earlier in the day and just done it the way the right book said it ought to have been done at night in a mass in St. John Lateran Cathedral. Fair enough. But the bigger question there was whether the people who were criticizing him for the breaking of the rubric that was then in vigor, whether these critics really cared about these incarcerated Muslim girls as much as Pope Francis did. By that prophetic ode, today he was calling us all really to love, including beyond the ones we know are our neighbors, to those who might challenge us a little bit more to love. He was trying to draw us there with him, prophetically. Do we receive this, or do we nitpick in order to reject? When we do, Jesus wants us to grasp that we are rejecting him in the prophets that he sends out. He would make that explicit earlier in St. Luke's Gospel as we pondered. Those who hear you hear me, those who reject you reject me, and reject the one who sent me. So Jesus today is provoking us by this attitude to look. Do we receive even others as part of this every spiritual blessing in the heavens? Do we grasp that everyone else made at a practical level, not just those who don't challenge or threaten us, but everyone, including those who annoy us like crazy, do we grasp that God has blessed us with them? One of my favorite sayings of St. Jose Maria, which has helped me so much over the course of my life, is when he wrote in The Way in one of his little Catalinas, his little aphorisms, don't say that that person mortifies you. Say that that person sanctifies you, because that's precisely what the person does when we receive the person with love. Might be a little SOS pad, scrubbing our soul, but we need it. What a great, great gift that is. Because in rejecting anyone, we're rejecting the Lord. Whatever we do to the least of his brothers, we do to him. This every spiritual blessing in the heavens, that we might become holy and immaculate in his sight, so we might live what St. Paul is saying in the Ephesians and avoid totally the types of attitude that lead to the actions that we see in today's gospel. We've got the great model of Our Lady. Today is the 99th anniversary of the great miracle of the sun, the end of the public aspirations in Fatima, in which there was this powerful message to convert ourselves and then to pray for the conversion of sinners. Pray the rosary for sinners. To sacrifice ourselves as Francisca Jacinta and Lucia did. But beyond it, to heed the Lord's message of the solution to all the main ills that flow from sin. What we saw in those three visions that the children describe, ultimately hell, the rise of atheistic communism, and then the suffering of the church, because the mystical body of Christ will suffer just as Christ suffered. And we know how serious that suffering is in the persecution of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. The solution to all of this, Mary indicated, was consecration to her Immaculate Heart. It's just the future Pope Benedict said in 2000. It's a weapon far more powerful than all the bombs and the bullets that the world can muster. To live in accordance with our dignity as adopted children of the Lord, to live in accordance with our vocation to be holy and immaculate in the Lord's sight. Mary revealed the means. Consecration of her Immaculate Heart, in essence, cutting ourselves off from everything else in order to unite with that heart that never ceases to beat and pray in every beat for us. The heart that says yes to the Lord, the heart that treasures God within and all his words, the heart that pours itself out in love, that's the means given to avoid all the stuff we see in the gospel and all that she revealed to the three Pastorinus. Today is a great day as we prepare for the centenary of the apparitions of Fatima, and today in Portugal begins the actual series of preparations, which is a beautiful overflow from the Year of Mercy. Today's a day to reconsecrate ourselves to Mary's Immaculate Heart, which is why we're praying the votive mass to the Immaculate Heart of Mary today, to give us a chance to enter anew into her consecration as we enter into her son's consecration here at Mass, and to begin to live this calling in the letter to the Ephesians with a Marian key. Let's just ask her for her help to do just that, and she will. This upcoming year will be grace upon grace, because God has indeed filled us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Last point. Today in the Gospel, Jesus was talking about memorials. That the people of his age were building physical edifices to the prophets their preceding generations had slaughtered. Jesus didn't want us to build those types of monuments. Instead, he wanted to incorporate us into his holy building, with him as the cornerstone, with the apostles and the prophets as those pillars, to build on the faith that he has revealed to us, that mystery, through their inspired lips. And to build that memorial, the building plan, we hear every morning when he says, do this in memory of me. The great building plan that Jesus has deemed for us from before the foundation of the world, to the praise of his Father's glory, is for us to live these words of consecration by sacrificing for others as Christ gives his body and blood for us here, through the intercession of Our Lady. May we receive this precious blood and pump it out. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.